Hey y'all, it is I, Raquel Adene of RaquelAdene.com, communication stylist and encouragement extraordinaire. How we doing, my people? We're back on the couch. I know it's been a little while. Y'all, life is happening. And if I have learned one thing through walking through life, having a great therapist, and surrendering my life to the Lord, it is this. All we can do is take one step at a time. And with every step we take, we get a little illumination for the step that comes next. And when we look back, we see the light on the path that we've taken, even when whatever is ahead of us seems dark or murky or hard to see. This has been a journey, and I really never thought I would be in this place. For about the past year and a half, I've talked about and around the reality of what I'm about to say. One, because it's not just my story to tell. Two, because I really didn't think it would get to this place. And three, because, I mean, low-key, it's really not information required for public consumption. But this is my space. And I think as I move closer to accepting where life and reality are taking me, it's important that I say the words. I've been going through a marital separation. January of this year was 16 years of marriage, but I've not resided in the same residence as my husband since December of 2021. And very few people knew. Even now, very few people know. The people that I do life with, the people that I hold in the highest regard and esteem, who are closest to me, they know. But it's not necessarily public knowledge. And that was for many reasons. But as I come to you today on the couch in my space, preparing myself for this next season of summer and in my actual life, there are a lot of things that I am having to find the words to say. And I'm finally getting to a place where I'm accepting enough of the situations, of my efforts, of the reality that I can say them without heartache, without breaking down. Not necessarily in full acceptance, because, I mean, listen, nobody gets married to get divorced. And after the amount of time invested, it's difficult to just say, well, this is it. And by no means was it an easy decision. By no means was it without much prayer and hope and tears that the decision was made. And while I'm not necessarily prepared to get into details, and honestly may never be, there are a few things I want to share with you all that have helped me and kept me encouraged in this journey. The first is, we say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, here's the reality. We are all God's children, and I need a village. And I prayed for a village. I prayed for people to do life with, to trust with myself and for my children back in like October of 2021. And God granted me that village. They've seen me through every part of this process. They've loved me. They've encouraged me. But more importantly, they have corrected me. They have helped guide me. They have been the Aaron and Hur to my Moses, holding my arms up when I felt like I couldn't do it anymore. And so regardless of where you are in life, if it is a season that is difficult for you, trust that God has people for you, or there are already people in your life that will love and cover and guide and support you. Lean on them. The only child in me, the trauma that I experienced throughout my life, the people-pleasing tendencies that through plenty of years of therapy I have been working to overcome, always made me believe that asking for help was a weakness or a burden. And so I didn't. But in this season, I've had to. I've quite literally had to, and I have been a better person for it. It has allowed me to be a better friend. It has allowed me to be a better human, and it has allowed me to be kinder to myself. Two, it's okay to not be okay. Most of my life, I performed so that nobody would see the hurt, so that nobody would see or ask me what was wrong, because I knew I was not able or prepared to face those answers, or because I was trying to cover and protect someone else so I couldn't tell the truth because it might hurt them. And I was always more willing to take the brunt of the burden of hurt than to see it placed on my people. But we're not doing it no more. Honey, I am not Atlas. The world is not on my shoulders. Absolutely not. Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. So we have to individually go to him. I am not holding anybody else's anything, honey. And so just being mindful of that is huge. And last but not least, give yourself some grace. We are all but individual people. One person cannot make a workplace thrive. One person cannot hold relationships together. One person cannot be the winner and the doer of everything. CEOs, they have other executive members and officers. They have people who work for them. Business owners have employees. Students have teachers. Teachers have principals. Principals have superintendents. We have this flow of structure so that no one is required to do the work all on their own. And yet, oftentimes, that's exactly what we do. And me personally, the people-pleasing tendencies I did have told me if I take responsibility and accountability, then I have the ability to fix it. Lie. Lie, honey. I was overestimating my ability as a human. And you know what? Thank God for his graciousness as he watched over me and thought, probably more times than I can count. You know what? That little baby. She'll be back when she wears herself out. And the truth is it's taken me decades to get worn out. Decades. But I have moved to a place of complete surrender, of fully accepting myself and my limitations as a human, but also recognizing other people, not for the potential I see in them, not for who I think they should be, not for who I think God created them to be, but merely accepting them for who they are and who they show me, and not judging, not being angry or upset or judgmental because they don't meet a stature or an expectation. Because the reality is, and this is hard for me to say, while I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea, I've always seen myself as capable of excellence in every manner. I know, overinflated sense of ego. I get it. Working on that too. Thank God for therapy. But it is in accepting my humanness that I recognize and truly realize that's not my place. And I've spent far too much time holding on to feelings and emotions that not only don't serve me, but can be a disservice in relationship because I just want them to be great. I just want to see them X, Y, and Z. I know they can do it. But if they don't choose to, then really what I'm doing is alienating this person that I love, that I'm in relationship with, whether it be romantic relationship or friendship or even professional relationship. Acceptance is a process for me. I've never been one who's good with change. Even when I get to initiate the change, I've still struggled with it. There's safety in sameness. Whew. Let me rephrase that. There is perceived safety in sameness. Because we begin to say, well, because I know this, this is better than the unknown. But there's no trust in the Lord in that. He cannot give us the beauty for ashes if we do not first give him the ashes. He cannot trade our mourning for joy if we refuse to mourn because we do not want to accept the truth. I've looked at my word and past messages I've delivered and things the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and conversations I've had with the Lord, because strengthening my spirit man has been of utmost importance. And I keep coming back to this story. When the Israelites were in bondage for 450 years in Egypt, right? They weren't destitute. It's not slavery as we know it historically in the United States. You know, they had silver, they had gold, they had homes, they were creating children, they had families, they were marrying Egyptians, they were creating families with the Egyptians. It was not chattel slavery. So when Moses finally went to Pharaoh and the 10 miracles were done to convince Pharaoh to let the people go, and the people left, and soon after Pharaoh pursued. They got to the Red Sea, you know, the Israelites passed the Red Sea. The Egyptians tried to follow them. They were drowned when the sea closed itself up again. The entire journey from Egypt to the Promised Land should have taken 11 days. Instead, it took them 40 years. Hear me, 11 days turned into 40 years. Why? Because in the midst of their travels, they began to murmur and complain. They missed the customs and the comforts of Egypt. Now, when they was in Egypt, they was crying, Lord, help me, please, Jesus, help me, please, Lord God, help me, help me. He brings them out, but the wilderness is not cushy. There's no roof. He was, you know, a cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. They had manna that came up for daily bread. There was no meat. They weren't barbecuing. There were no kickbacks. There were no festival meals together. There were no beds. There was no silver. There was no gold. They were told to leave that behind and flee. And they were uncomfortable, so they complained. They built idols as if they had already forgotten who the Lord was. It was a very good picture of what happens when we as humans ask for something and the answer to what we've asked for is not executed in the way that we thought it would be. God's thoughts are higher than ours and his ways are above ours. And yet we still look to him to do the things we want him to do. And by we, I mean me. I can't speak for anybody else. And so in the wilderness, it gets to a point where the Lord said, you know what? Because of your unbelief, this generation will die off in the wilderness. You will not see the Promised Land. And everybody who was over the age of 19, they had to continue to wait in the wilderness till everybody over the age of 19 died before they could walk into it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not doing all this work to break these generational curses, to turn around and complain and my children to be blessed, but I live in the same situation that I asked God to bring me out of. We ain't doing that, honey. Mm-mm. I want my inheritance before I get to the heavenly gates. And I think about when he sent them to spy out the land and they came back. And the majority of them were like, y'all, it's giants over there. We not finna go over there. They scary. How we gonna defeat them? Yada, 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 so on and so forth. But, you know, there were two who said, if God promised it to us, we're going. I want that level of faith. I want faith like Caleb to see the giants and say, well, Lord, if the land will sustain the giants and you've promised it to me, then when you give me the knowledge and the ability and the tools and the courage to move in on your command, I already know it's going to be more than I need. There will be abundance of every resource. But that means taking the journey, trusting as we get to the Red Sea, watching God part it and make a way, allowing those things that were not for me to get washed away in those waters when they close up again, taking this journey, sometimes alone, putting one foot in front of the other in spite of heartache, grief, adulthood, parenting, life, fear, all of the things. And even when I didn't have those things in the forefront of my mind, being surrounded by people that I am in covenant relationship with, by the greatness and the goodness of God, who remind me of his word, who prompt me to go back to what I know in faith, who will correct me to move from the words of my mouth and my human logic to being on my knees in prayer and surrender to the Lord. See, this process is not for the faint of heart. And one of the things that I have had to wrestle with is feeling like I've disappointed God. Feeling like because this is not working out, this relationship is coming to an end, that I have disappointed the Lord. And that was hard for me. But then I realized that my expectation of what God had for me was based on expectations I created for myself. You see, God loves us, period, full stop. There are no conditions. No matter how fast or hard we fall, he will pick us up. He will leave the 99 for us. But when we see ourselves as unworthy, when I believed myself to be a failure, I decided I was no longer worthy to be the one that he left the 99 for. And so I fought against my mind. I fought against myself. I condemned myself. I guilted myself. I shamed myself. And I spent a lot of time in darkness. But my God, in Matthew, he says, let your light so shine that it glorifies your Father, which is in heaven. I am always to be a fisher of men as a believer in Christ, as a disciple of his word. How can I, in the depths of despair, be a fisher of men? Now, that is not to say we cannot hurt. But staying down is not an option. Not when the Redeemer of the world has come, has sent the Holy Spirit as a comforter. For me, giving up is not an option. And so I had to, instead of looking at it as what I was not able to do, I had to take the idea that I had not done enough and put it at the feet of Jesus. Place that on the altar and say, okay, God, listen, this is what I've had. This is what I have been able to do. Now it's on you. It's your job to guide. It's your job to fix. It's your job to lead. It's your job to change. It's your job to create whatever the circumstances are that need to be in order for me to be the person you've called me to be, because I clearly cannot do it on my own. Has that been an easy process, child? The simple answer is no. By no means. But it has been important. And it has been essential and imperative, because it has been through that I have found peace and joy, not just in my heart and in my faith, but in my body. The sickness has gone away. The weight has been gained. My hair is not as brittle as it was. The nervous system symptoms of stress and fatigue have been fewer and fewer. Is it hard? Absolutely. I don't know that I have found a word in the English language to describe how difficult this is. And in those moments, all I say is Jesus. The name which is above every name, the name which is greater than any adjective. And in his name, I have victory. In his name, I have peace. I have joy. I have love. I have restoration. I have redemption. I have forgiveness. And those things are priceless. Whew. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to post this episode, but I'm going to post it in full assurance of the fact that I am shaking right now. I am not necessarily feeling exposed, but I am vulnerable. And while I don't mind being transparent, whew, your girl, I don't really do the vulnerability a whole lot outside of my village. And that's okay. And it will probably continue to stay that way. But there has been a prompting in my heart because I am not the only person who has experienced these things. I am not the only person who's had to walk this path. And if the word of the Lord and his guidance is a light, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, then by the grace of God, may my path be bright enough to give other people the courage to pick up their lamp and take their steps. It's been a while since we've been on the couch together, and I wasn't sure how our reunion together would go, but I hope that my truth and vulnerability is beneficial to you. I hope that my words are an encouragement to you. And even as I say them, they are an encouragement to me. I will endure until the end because I know that all that God has it, for me in this life is more beautiful than what I could have imagined. And we can only get to what God has for us by doing what he's called us to do. I'm not saying God called me to separate in my marriage or any of that. What I'm saying is that I have had peace in the decisions that I've made, and being here in this season, I know that God is calling me to some works. And all I can do is be faithful to those things. I think back to this podcast. The week before I kicked it off, I was making excuses to a fellow mother and homeschooler that I knew. When I got off a call with her, the Holy Spirit said, if you don't want to do the work, I will find someone who will. That day, I ordered my microphone on Amazon Prime. I figured out how to record an episode. I taught myself how to edit, and I got started. I don't want the Lord to have to find somebody else to do the work that he prepared for me because I've been procrastinating or fearful. I would rather do it, walk in full assurance of what he's called me to, and know that I reap what I sow. And when he gives us the seeds to plant and we harvest them, there is no end to the bounty that he will allow us to reap. That was a lot of words, but they weren't hard for me to say. And I look forward to sharing with you where I am in this season and how it is unfolding. Until next time.